This is Global Patriot Radio.
Hey, welcome to the Vito Esposito Show with Big Al, starring the godfather of Global Patriot Radio, the Don of Dissenting Discussion, the Italian infidel himself, Vito Esposito. Him and his hitman, Big Al, are here to whack the leftists, shake down the Democrats, and put out a contract on all the jihadis that are messing with the American family. And if you got what it takes to be a wise guy, you can get made right here on the show by dialing 319-527-6706. So, get ready to go to the mattresses and say, Mamma Mia, no Sharia, because Vito and Big Al are going to give you a radio show you can't refuse.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands. One nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
With liberty and justice for all. Good evening, Global Patriots. You're listening to Global Patriot Radio, the Vito Esposito Show. I'm Vito. Our call-in number tonight and every Global Patriot Radio night is area code 319-527-6706. That's area code 319-527-6706. And I'm joined by that no-pulse eating American lover, Al. Good evening, Al. How you doing?
Hey, doing great, Vito. Great to be here. Great to be here as always. How are you?
I'm doing well, thank you. I'm doing well. It's Memorial Day in the United States, and it's a day of remembrance. Our mutual friend, Al, had sent an email reflecting on Memorial Day, and it's perhaps one of the better reflections. And I'd like to start out the show by reading it. This day could perhaps more appropriately be called Thanksgiving Day, the one day of the year where we pause to give thanks to those who purchased our freedoms with their most precious possessions, their lives. I'm indeed saddened by the reality that what previous generations for the last 200 plus years have purchased with their blood, current generations are willing to exchange for a fool's promise of a utopian socialist paradise. While we were taught to love America with an obligation to protect her, current generations are taught to hate America, and she is being portrayed as the primary source of evil in the world. Ronald Reagan said that freedom is never more than a generation away from extinction, and those in world history have known freedom and then lost it, have never known it again. Somehow, we need to help our younger folks understand this reality. Best of all, for a safe and pleasant summer, free of stupid stuff. That's to say, well stated, GM. That was very short and sweet, concise, right to the point. Somehow, Al, we need to help our younger folks understand this reality, and he's right. And unfortunately, the progressive movement gained traction in the late 70s and early 80s that consciously started taking U.S. history out of the classroom and supplanted it with their politically correct social engineering and demonizing America and our founders. And today in 2020, we have seen the progressives morph from the 60s in the 60s from socialist to the 90s and to Mamma Mia. The progressives morphed from being progressive in the 60s into socialist in the 90s. And today, the progressive movement is now communist and Marxist. They despise the very country that has created hope, opportunity, liberty, wealth, and a vision. And a vision for individual liberties and freedoms, and envy that millions of people migrate to America for. And in this day, I think our friend G is right. Today should be a day of Thanksgiving.
Well stated.
Yeah. It's also the, I guess the first day now of, I guess tomorrow in my mind starts the, what could be the summertime, right? I mean, summer's right around the corner, and this kind of kicks off. School will be letting out, and sadly, the youths today, the younger generations, they're not taught. It's the dumbing down of this country that really gets you. I mean, I don't know. I look at what G sent us, and it was like, man, it just, he just captioned it in two short paragraphs. And then, of course, Ronald Reagan, President Reagan said it best, the freedom is never more than a generation away from extinction. And it's just this particular movement today in the 21st century that's afoot is to dismember, dismantle, and really break apart our constitutional republic. And our founders would be rolling in their grave today.
Yeah. Well, it's a Marxist takeover, and the Marxists are trying to bring in a cultural revolution through higher energy prices, less police, weakening of the police, and our economy going into a tailspin. It creates disunity amongst the people. It creates a lot of agita within our culture, and it destroys our culture. And that is the cultural revolution. That's the beginning of the end, all because of the Marxists. And thank President Biden for being the leading Marxist cheerleader. In fact, President Biden, Vito, he's making Marxism great again.
Boy, is he ever. Oh, my God. Here we are, right in the freaking, in the midst of honoring the fallen, men and women who gave the ultimate price, their lives to save this country from the Revolutionary War, the French and Indian War, through the Civil War. No doubt the Civil War was a real change for this country. But then World War One, World War Two, Korean War, Vietnam, and of course the latest would be the war in the Middle East. And it's like the passion. When you watch the Wounded Warrior commercials that come on, you listen to these vets who were injured and maimed. And the one that gets me is the gentleman who said he was crossing a bridge in New York when the word came out that there was an attack. And he called his father, and the next thing he did was go down to the recruiting station and sign up and enlist into the military. Unfortunately, that type of patriotism is not heralded, is not, brought out as it should be. And that's the sad part of it, that there is still this patriotism, but these Marxists are overshadowing with their radical anti-American agenda. And that's what it is. It's radical anti-Americanism. It's anti-constitutionalism. I mean, these are anti-constitutionalists that are so hell-bent on destroying our republic and all in the quest for power. I don't know about you, but my family was, in my opinion, a family of patriots, and I'm not diminishing anybody else's family whatsoever, but when you have when all my father's brothers enlisted in World War II and my uncles and signed up and enlisted for Vietnam and served in Vietnam and cousins who served in Afghanistan and Iraq, it's incredible. incredible. I mean, they gave their, they knew what it was to be an American and what it is to be an American. You know, I just,
yeah. Is very fragile. Requires the blood of patriots from time to time to make sure that that freedom and liberty prevails. And
fragile.
That's the way it's
that's
been. That's
really,
the way it'll always be. Hmm?
Yeah, and that's a great word, fragile. Fragile. And that's what, I think that's what drives patriots. That's what drives, you know, Americans who believe in America, who still believe in what our founders put together. And we know how fragile, you know, this time could be in America. And certainly we have those individuals who are undermining, you know, our great country, our Constitution, our freedoms and liberties. All in the name of their power, but you know we'll go with right now. Gotta say, well, we start out with PGA news, and today I know is a holiday weekend, and we'll still start with the PGA news. The FAME Colonial Tournament was held in Fort Worth, Texas, this past weekend, and it was an anemic final day. It was kind of boring. World's number one, Scottie Scheffler, rebounded nicely after missing the cut last week in the PGA's second major, the PGA Championship. He played poorly at Southern Hills, but I got to give him props, man. Scottie Scheffler took the lead on Saturday, and he entered Sunday with a two-shot lead, but Scheffler struggled all day. I don't think he made a birdie. I think he had two bogeys. He went from 11 under to 9 under. He was limping along. Limping into the 18th hole, and he needed a par to tie Sam Burns or a birdie to win the tournament outright, and he hit a beautiful drive. He piped it. Sam Burns now is like 2 hours. He finished 2 hours earlier, and he's sitting in the clubhouse, and actually on the range, and he shot a 65, and he posted a 9-under score, and Scottie Scheffler could not get off that 9-under number, could not get off of it. Missing putts and just missing greens and just absolutely a poor putting display, which for a guy who is one of the premier putters on tour. But Scheffler did make a great par save on the 18th hole to send the tournament into a playoff. And first hole, Sam Burns knocks his approach shot about 40 feet from the pin. Scheffler knocks it closer. He's like 20 feet from the pin. So now we have a putt off. And you think, well, okay, 40 feet out. Well, it turns out, Al, that the most exciting part in about 2 hours of yesterday's final round occurred on the very first playoff hole. Sam Burns hits a beautiful putt. The ball rolls. It's rolling towards the hole. The cameraman gets a great angle as you see the ball start turning to the right, and it catches a little bit of a break, and it absolutely drops dead center into the cup. Dead center. I mean, this was the most exciting part of probably 2 hours, and hold your I'm dying if I'm lying here. It was the most exciting part of the afternoon, and so Burns drains it for a birdie, and now Scheffler has to drain his putt in order to send it into a second playoff hole. So Scotty is like 20 feet. Now, mind you, he's not made anything all day. And it's like, this isn't looking good. Scheffler knocks his putt, and he leaves it to the left of the hole. Doesn't go in. 2 hours, an hour and a half to 2 hour wait for Sam Burns. Sam Burns ends up winning the Colonial, and it's over. Thank God, because it was boring as hell. It was a painful last day. The weather did play a role. Felt bad for Harold Varner III. He was tied for the lead at 9-under par. Got it up to, I think, 10 or 11 under at one point. And then one hole just went absolutely sideways on him. And part of that might have been his playing partner who was taking a ruling. It took 45 minutes to play one hole. The very next hole they teed off on, that's when it all went south for. He four-putted. That's right. It was a 45-minute wait. Harold Varner then four-putts the hole that took 45 minutes. And it was just – I felt bad for the guy. He went from tied for first too. I think tied for like 26th. I mean,
it's understandable. You lose your concentration. You're steaming inside like a pressure cooker, and then that happens.
I know, 45 minutes. Oh my God,
that should never happen in any tournament.
No, and I'll tell you, I think Varner should have probably just putted out and just waited. That would have been much easier. But he freaking four putted. Oh my God.
Those are the lessons you have to learn. He's an up and comer. It's very competitive.
Yeah.
We play tournaments, even tournaments with really no consequences. But I tell you, the pressure can debilitate you at times. It's amazing.
I know. I lost my dollar after 2.5 years. I lost my L dollar to Al.
It happens. It hurt. I know it hurt. It brought me joy, but I know it hurt. For me to have joy, someone else has to get hurt, and this time it was you.
It actually sucked. I had that dollar in my coin pouch in my bag for 2 years and 4 months and 13 days, and I wasn't counting, though. And a bunker shot to boot, you bastard. You hit a great bunker shot. I got to say, that was really a nice bunker shot. Very well done.
Well, thanks. Hey, have you been watching any of the NHL playoffs at all? We're getting towards the fun time, the finals.
Yeah, I watched some of the Rangers. I didn't catch the Rangers game six, but I did watch the Rangers. And I bust my chops about not watching the Rangers. But
well, you should. They don't take a knee. You can get behind. Hell, well, this game six, they won 5-2 against the Hurricanes, and the seventh and final game is tonight at 8 p.m. So that should be that's a big game, because whichever team wins will go to the finals.
Yeah, that would be awesome.
Not the final, but the.
Oh, the division.
So one more series. Well, right now it's the Oilers, and hopefully meet the Yankees. We'll see. That'd be a good matchup. I think the Oilers and the Rangers. I think that would be a good matchup.
Yeah, let's see what happens to the Rangers goalie. I mean, he's been really good this year, so let's just hope that he can really come through in the clutch, man, because that'll be great. And mm-hmm. I think they're in New York, right? Or are they? I'm trying to think of where. No, they're at the Hurricane. Sorry, they're in. Okay, so and let me say this about it. I think Gary Bettman and the NHL should fine the Carolina Hurricanes. Okay. Because they were refusing to sell tickets to the New York fans. Now,
right.
I'm telling you, that is wrong. And Bettman better have stepped in. For the Carolina Hurricanes to do that is flat-out discrimination. And I can't believe that's even happened. I mean, you know, I hope Carolina gets shut out tonight just because of that crap that they're pulling, not allowing New York fans to buy tickets. Oh,
well, I've never heard of anything like that in my lifetime. That was
it's never happened.
News story out of left field. Never happened.
Rotten bastards. God. It's sick. Well, and then quickly, the LPGA, they had a really cool format this past weekend. They had their match play. It was the Bank of Hope LPGA match play. It was presented by MGM Rewards, which was being played in Las Vegas. Really beautiful, beautiful course. But the winner was South Korean Eun Hee Ji. She ended up besting Ayaka Fury, and then U.S. Lilia Vu and Andrea Lee came in third and fourth, respectively. And Eun Hee Ji took home a prize of $225,000. So it was, I think it was a total of 64 players, and it was like one play 64, two play 63, and it was really kind of a cool match play, to the point where world's number one got knocked down and number two got knocked down. So at any given day with the match play format, anybody can win. A 64-ranked player can beat a number one-ranked player, and there were some upsets. There were some surprising upsets, and it's kind of interesting to see who, you know, finished at the bottom of the barrel there. And, you know, I know that, you know, Stacey Lewis is struggling, but, you know, she finished tied for 50. Lizette Salas, she had been playing well. Sophia Popoff has been playing great. She finished tied for 50. Allison Lee, Danielle Kang, who had been lighting it up this year, she finished tied for 50. The world's number one, Minji Lee, finished tied for 35. So, you know, at any type of venue that you have where, you know, you have a match play, it's really up for grabs. And this didn't prove any less. And it was pretty cool. The course was absolutely beautiful, and I can't remember the name of the course, but I'll see if I can get it here. Course info. Oh, Shadow Creek. It was 6,804 yards. So really kind of cool. So,
but it was a private course, and the public was not allowed in. Only invited guests.
Yeah, which is kind of
very
odd.
Troubling.
Yeah, you know, and here we go again, Al. Here we go with the LPGA doing all they can to not inspire, you know, participation. And I understand Shadow Creek is a private course, you know, but my goodness gracious, you're trying to promote women's golf and you shut it out to the public? I mean, the course is absolutely beautiful. Why not have, you know, people come in?
Yeah, and the announcers are all giddy. Oh, if you go to the hospitality suite, they don't charge you anything. You don't ever get a bill. Everything's free.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, no one's allowed in. The public is not allowed in, and only invited guests. So it's members of the club, and that's it. Screw that.
I can't for the life of me understand who the marketing guru of the LPGA is. Why do they even think this is a good thing? Give it to me and you to market, man. There'll be thousands of people there on a daily basis. My God. They have a product.
Yeah. I'm surprised they didn't get any more press, quite frankly. They kept a pretty good lid on it. Or else that means that people don't care about the LPGA. But I mean, professional sports is doing everything possible to piss me off or to get me all very upset. You got the NFL,
yeah.
A bunch of thugs and taking a knee and going in the locker room during the national anthem. Gosh, still gets me angry. Hockey doesn't. But, you know.
Yo, Major League Baseball starts. Do they get one player? Gabe Kaplan is his name, I think it is. He said he wasn't going to come out and for the national anthem until things change in America. I mean, really, you know, who cares, Gabe? Why don't you go down to the matter of fact? Why don't you just leave? Okay, because really nobody cares about you. Okay, I mean, this is ridiculous.
I hadn't heard that one.
Yeah, I mean, can you imagine? You know. Let's just say, I don't know, James Madison taking a knee, maybe George Washington taking a knee. You know, I don't like the way things are going in Valley Forge. I'm going to take a knee. I mean, yeah. Seriously. Hey, before we go on any further, I would like to take this time, if you don't mind, to extend our condolences and remember a lady many of our listeners know as Little T, Teresa Bursky. On Saturday, Holdren had texted me that Teresa was battling cancer and she had not been on Joshua's show for the past few weeks, which is where I first had met Teresa, you know, on the Simone Nicole show a couple of years back. always a very nice lady, very helpful about nutrition advice. And after all, because Teresa was a certified nutrition consultant, her website is Vital Life. She knew her oils, she knew her supplements, and she was extremely helpful. She truly helped me, you know, in trying to get on the right path of eating as Joshua does. Well, on Sunday morning, another one of our acquaintance friends, Mike, posted Saturday night, Teresa lost her battle with cancer and passed. And I like to remember Little T with the following song.
Okay. So in some reason
Rest in peace, Little T. She was a nice lady. And I know some of the people in the chat room knew her better than I, but she was a nice lady. Very, very nice lady. And as Ho just said, a patriot. And she will be missed. And haven't got another warrior. So.
Too young.
Thanks. Yeah, yeah. I made, and in honor of her and Joshua, I made a drink with lemon juice. What was it? Apple cider vinegar with mother and water. And I put a little baking soda in it. And I think I put too much. I'm glad I had the mic off because I think I put too much apple cider vinegar because I took a big swig. And I almost choked. It was too much vinegar in it. Oh my god.
Coffee sounds much better, frankly.
Yeah, I got my espresso here too, so I made a triple one tonight, so
so you're drinking apple cider vinegar, baking soda and water with lemon juice.
Yeah.
And what's that supposed to do?
I don't know. It gives you more energy. I've been mixing that when I go out and play golf. I'll mix a couple of bottles up. I'll put very little apple cider vinegar in, but it really it actually gives you kind of a boost and it's kind of refreshing. The lemon juice kind of gives it a refreshment. And it seems like it maintains the energy level for me. I don't know.
Well, sounds like everybody should give that a try.
Yeah, yeah. But just be careful how much apple cider vinegar with mother you put in there. And that's the key. I didn't realize there was a difference. And see, this is what I learned. I learned from Joshua and Little T that you have to get the apple cider vinegar with mothers in it. So I didn't realize it was even a difference. So it's amazing. See, all this little stuff that you learn. You know,
well, there's a lot to say about holistic health. And
yeah.
Staying off of the pharmaceuticals as much as you can. So opens up a whole new
amazing.
World.
And golf dogs, the same thing. Golf, man, I'll tell you, there's a guy who knows his supplements as well. So he's a wealth of knowledge. So, and some people shouldn't drive. So apparently the Speaker of the House, Nancy Pelosi's husband, Paul Pelosi, got into a little bit of predicament, Al.
What could possibly have happened?
Well, Paul Pelosi, who is the husband of the drunk Nancy Pelosi, I'm sorry, of the Speaker of the House, Paul Pelosi, the husband of Speaker Nancy Pelosi, was arrested in California over the weekend and charged with drunken driving, according to jail records. Booking reports for the Napa County Detention Center indicate the 82-year-old Pelosi was arrested late Saturday on misdemeanor charges of driving under the influence and driving with a blood alcohol content level of 0.08 or higher. Oh, Pelosi was booked on $5,000 bond. Later in custody, records no longer listed Pelosi at the facility, likely meaning the bond was met. The arrest was first reported by TMZ, which also cited a collision report indicating the speaker's husband was arrested after his 2021 Porsche was involved in a two-car crash with a Jeep. No one was reported injured. The California Highway Patrol, San Francisco, told the San Francisco Chronicle that Pelosi's vehicle was hit by the driver of the Jeep as Pelosi was attempting to cross state highway in Napa. The speaker will not be commenting on this private matter, which occurred while she was on the East Coast, Nancy Pelosi spokesman Drew Hamill. And of course, she will not comment on it because she was getting an honorary degree from Brown University in Providence and delivered the commencement address to its graduate class. Monday, she gave the remarks during a Memorial Day ceremony at the San Francisco Cemetery. Paul and Nancy were married since 1963. Paul is a founder of San Francisco-based Financial Leasing Services.
I didn't hear much from Mothers Against Drunk Drivers. They were very quiet. And the driver of the Jeep was not arrested, only Pelosi's husband. But I'm sure that the Pelosi lawyer immediately got to the driver of the Jeep, and they worked out a deal, and this will all go away. The only good news is that Pelosi did not drive over a bridge into a river with his secretary. So,
yeah, that's true.
And luckily, nobody got hurt.
It's a
Democrat Party. Hmm?
Well, yeah, and as Holger said, it's a private matter for the speaker. Where I was on January 6th certainly isn't a private matter. On January 6th? Yeah,
it's a public matter the minute that he got booked. It's a public matter the minute that he had an accident on taxpayer-funded roads. It was a public matter the moment that he is drinking and driving and putting other drivers at risk. But some people are more equal than others in that Marxist world that Pelosi lives in, and this is how Marxists do things. They make things go away. And the media helps. In fact, the media allows it to happen.
Well, they do. I mean, the DNC state media basically will suppress this. There'll be some things probably on Newsmax, and I'm sure Fox will cover it. But, you know, that's where it ends. And OAN will cover it as well. But, you know, there are sources out there that are taking OAN from, like, DirecTV, AT&T, and the DirecTV is basically taking OAN off. So the state-run DNC medias will sweep this under the rug. They'll be more apt to be talking about the draft that was leaked, and of course they'll be on their pious propaganda stage for the Uvalde shooting. Because Ukraine is off the front page as well. Have you noticed that? You're the one that brought it to my attention. You know, Ukraine is off the front page. No more. It's no longer an issue. $4.60 an average for gasoline is off the front page. How convenient. How convenient. We're not talking about the 11% inflation jump and interest rates starting to climb, going to make it more expensive to purchase a house. And, of course, energy costs are still on the rise. And, you know, buffoon Biden is doing nothing, as planned, by the way, as planned. So, I got a little, you there, Al?
Yeah, in fact, okay. I was telling you, the front page of my paper says Biden's traveled to Uvalde to meet with grieving families. What the story doesn't tell you is that it doesn't go quite like the headline.
Yeah, it seems like... The dumb old Biden was not liked in Uvalde. I mean, he looks like he got booed. Huh? Is that what you're saying?
Oh, he got booed and heckled. They had specific family members that got to meet with them, and then they had all the other community members and family members, and they were cordoned off to the side behind ropes. And then they were yelling at the president as he was walking to his motorcade. There's video of this. Many of you might have already seen it. But it was, do something, do something, do something to President Biden, along with boos. And as the Secret Service was bringing him towards the line so the president could interact with the public in Uvalde and share in their grief, as soon as the boos started happening and the negative screams and whatever coming from the public, they quickly ushered the president and the first lady into the limousine, and then off they went. This is the man who got 80 million votes. Give me a break.
The man who got
Yeah.
Go ahead.
This isn't a political event. This is a grieving town. This is a grieving country. He's supposed to help heal those wounds by being there and just showing that he cares. But even that goes south.
Yeah. So we're to believe that bumbling Biden, the buffoon, got 81 million votes, yet he goes to a Texas town and he can't even he gets booed. I mean, he can't even make his fumbling speech. I'm sure that they had the teleprompters close by in case things were going a different route, so he can make his canned slogans and meaningless sound bites. And that's, you know, that's the sad part of this whole thing. You know, the exploitation by the anti-American, the anti-constitutionalists, the anti-constitutional left wing that's led by the Democrat Party. You know, we at Global Patriot Radio are deeply saddened by the terrorist attack in Uvalde. Our thoughts and prayers go out to each and every family in the Uvalde community having to deal with this terrorist act of evil. But the left-wing lunatics led by the Democrat Party are going crazy with their anti-American communists that they truly are, including Marxist Barack Hussein Sator Obama and the useless Beto O'Rourke, shamelessly grandstanding and exploiting a tragedy. Now, the anti-American agitator Barack Hussein Sator Obama didn't disappoint by sending out a shameless, divisive tweet. And this is what Hussein Obama had to tweet out. As we grieve the children of Uvalde today, we should take time to recognize that 2 years have passed since the murder of George Floyd under the knee of a police officer. His killing stays with us all the day, especially those who loved him. Barack Obama, May 25th, 2022. Well, Barack Hussein Sator Obama doesn't disappoint. He's an anti-American agitator from the core. As Ben Shapiro replied, what in the world does the former have to do with the latter? I mean, spot on. The shooting in Uvalde has nothing to do with the George Floyd event, unless, of course, your goal is to inflame tensions and continue to divide a nation and make race that division, just like Barack Hussein Sator Obama does, the anti-American agitator. And you notice Obama made sure to indict the police, which is what the anti-American Marxists do. They incite to violence their extreme and violent base, inflame racial tensions, and Obama is shameless. Jason Whitlock replied to Obama's pathetic tweet, let's stand George Floyd on the dead bodies of slaughtered children. This is one of the worst tweets in history. And Obama did exactly what the radical left wing does. They exploit a tragedy, inflame the situation. It's what good community agitators do. I love Mike Cernovich's reply to Obama. George Floyd robbed a pregnant woman at gunpoint. It's not the same, you divisive psychopath. Or Harry Kachatryan, the Washington Examiner. Innocent children gunned down in elementary school is absolutely not comparable to a criminal being wrongly killed by police mid-arrest. Keira Davis, political commentator, not a single grieving parent today gives a rip about what happened to Floyd or anyone right now. For crying out loud, this is not the time to advertising for your favorite activist group. How utterly vile. I'm going to tell you, that one, Keira Davis absolutely nailed it. Not a single grieving parent today gives a rip about what happened to Floyd or anyone right now. For crying out loud, this is not the time to be advertising for your favorite activist group. How utterly vile. That never gets old. Keira Davis absolutely nailed it. But this is the best reply to sum up the disdain for people had for the anti-American Obama's divisive and uncalled-for tweet. Emmanuel Racone,
El American, the families of more than 20 people, mostly children, killed yesterday do not deserve this disrespect. It would be good to respect their pain and not use this moment to stir up more hatred. So Emmanuel Rincon and Keira Davis absolutely nailed it. Absolutely. The families do not deserve disrespect. But see, the left wing led by the Democrat Party has no respect. It's all about politics and it's all about identity politics. How do they distract from the real events and exploit a tragedy to tug on the heartstrings with a goal in mind? In this instance, it's to dismantle the Second Amendment of the Bill of Rights. And listen, Joe Obama didn't disappoint. You know, instead of offering some sort of sympathy and empathize with the parents, right away he attacks the Second Amendment. Right away he blames the NRA and he blames the GOP. This is how shameless the left wing led by the Democrat Party truly is. And Barack Obama didn't disappoint, the anti-American agitator that he is. You know, and in the White House, you have Susan Rice, who's now going to lead an investigation. Susan Rice, another anti-American, Samantha Power. You've got the other goofball, you know, John Kerry. I mean, this is an administration that's made up with anti-American agitators. And that's how you should define it. The DNC state media outlets such as DNC MSNBC didn't disappoint either, exploiting the school shooting by redefining the Second Amendment of the U.S. Constitution. Now, let me read the Second Amendment. A well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. The right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. And yet a pundit on the state media outlet, MSNBC, unilaterally declared the Second Amendment does not give people the right to own a gun. This is how shameless the anti-constitutional left-wing led by the Democrat Party truly is. Simply redefine the U.S. Constitution under your own terms and then make incredibly dangerous and fictitious statements, selling them as facts. And this Yahoo uses the First Amendment, and he hides behind the First Amendment to assault the Second Amendment. The left-wing anti-constitutionalists are shameless, and they're relentless in their pursuit of dismantling our constitutional republic. It's absolutely sickening what is going on today in America, and today is Memorial Day, a day in which we honor the brave men and women who gave their lives protecting and defending the United States of America, defending our constitutional republic. And not even Joe Obama can protect and defend the very thing that he took an oath to do, and that on many occasions, especially as a U.S. senator, then as vice president, and then sadly as president, and that is the United States Constitution. Today, the movement afoot is for the left wing to tear down our republic in their thirst and quest for power and control. And their mission is to dismantle the Bill of Rights, to dismantle the First Amendment, all five components. Freedom of speech, freedom of religion, freedom to peaceably assemble, freedom to redress your government for grievances, and freedom of the press. This is why they were so intent on having Joe Obama installed as president. He's heartless, he's gutless, and he has absolutely no idea what he's doing. But he's a great chimpanzee for whoever is pulling his strings. And how heartless these left-wing lunatics are. Heartless. I mean, Obama didn't waste any time in invoking George Floyd's name in a time when the parents in Uvalde are absolutely, their heart has been ripped out. But it was Rahm Emanuel said, never let a tragedy go undone. Take full advantage of a tragedy. Al, I'll tell you, you know, I've read through the the preamble of the Bill of Rights. You read through the Bill of Rights, reading the Federalist Papers, Federalist 46, which addresses the right to bear arms. And it truly is amazing how perverted this government is, how perverted the leaders in government are. And they're going solely on emotion. And then you have yahoos that are going to the DNC state medias like MSNBC, and they're unilaterally declaring that the Constitution, the Second Amendment, doesn't give the right of the people to bear arms. I mean, you know, at one point it would have been laughable, but now it's absolutely dangerous because they're not looking at ways let's spend $40 billion and send to Ukraine, but not take $40 billion to secure the schools. And it's sad that we have to even talk about securing schools. But as long as you continue to advertise that schools are a gun-free zone and soft targets, okay, these planned attacks, I'm sorry, these terrorist attacks will continue. And I'm sure it's much to the delight of the left wing because they so want to dismantle our constitutional republic. They tried with the pandemic. You know, to keep people from peaceably assembling, all in the name of a pandemic. And then, of course, if you redress your government for grievances, you were either arrested or you were shot down by this government. And then, of course, we know the attacks on the media by the state government. I mean, look at the government under Barack Hussein, Satoru Obama, and Biden, and under Biden, Harris, and Obama, and how they're going after the media. I mean, how soon we forget it was the Obama-Biden administration that went after a Fox News journalist and his family. They sick the IRS on these people. Wait a minute. The First Amendment states that the freedom of the press shall not be infringed. How can that be? And now you've got Joe Obama doing pretty much the same thing. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press or of the right of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. And gleefully, the left wing led by the Democrat Party is making sure that all five components of the Bill of Rights are being infringed. And now, in just 2 weeks, and you know, I find it pretty ironic. You know, somebody posted on Twitter the number of terrorist attacks, mass shootings under Obama, which were the highest, and now comparing that to Joe Obama, and isn't it incredible again that these mass shootings now are starting to take place, and the first thing out of Joe Obama's mouth is to blame the NRA, blame the GOP, and let's start dismantling the Second Amendment. How can an 18-year-old buy a weapon? Oh, wait a minute. This is the same party that wants to give 16-year-olds the right to vote, but they can't buy a gun. This is the same party that's okay with an 18-year-old going to war and fighting for his country. They can't buy a weapon. And plus, we're talking about 82 million people owning weapons, and we're breaking it down to 0.1% who are fucking lunatics, and we have to go ahead and scrap the entire Second Amendment? You know, James Madison warned that the government should be subordinate to the people. But now we have a mindset. We have a quest for power, a thirst for power, a greed for power that wants to make sure that the people are subordinate to the government. And whether that is taking care of you from cradle to grave, social insecurity, health care, and now to disarm the American people. Why? So that the American people are subordinate to the government, which is absolutely contrary to what James Madison wrote in Federalist 46. And there's a full-out assault on James Madison and the Second Amendment of the U.S. Constitution. What happened did not have to happen, and there were so many holes with what happened in Uvalde, Texas. That law enforcement does have to answer for. But you see, the left wing led by the Democrat Party wants it both ways, too. They want to be able to defund police, demonize law enforcement, neuter law enforcement, and then blame law enforcement when something like this happens, whether it's planned or whether it's an acute attack. I'm not buying it. You know, for 2 weeks since the leaked document out of the United States Supreme Court by some scumbag anti-American that's in the Supreme Court building about abortion and overturning Roe v. Wade, which, by the way, it was a draft. It was not an official opinion. It was just a draft. But the left-wing lunatics led by the Democrat Party made this into a full-blown Roe v. Wade being overturned. They want to be able to abort a fetus, a child, an infant. They want to be able to abort a child. And suddenly now they care about children. They care, okay? But you know what? Barack Hussein, Satoru Obama made it abundantly clear. It's about exploitation, and it's exactly what Barack Hussein, Satoru Obama did on May 25th, using the George Floyd as a means of Uvalde, capitalizing off of it to divide America, make it a racial issue. Remember, let's keep that racial tension, that racial component, keep it tense in America. Let's blame police. Remember, defund police, okay? But then chastise them for what happened in Uvalde. I'm not buying that this was organic. I did some checking into pricing of these weapons that this kid had, this 18-year-old had. And, of course, 18 years old, it's okay for an 18-year-old to vote. And the left-wing lunatics led by the Democrat Party want to lower that to 16. But to purchase a weapon, how many 18-year-olds out there, and I lived in a rural country, in rural parts of America, where 18-year-olds knew how to fire a weapon since they were 8 years old and handled a weapon very responsibly. 2,162 to, so right around $2,200 per weapon. So that's $4,400. Plus you had to buy ammo. So where did an 18-year-old get $6,000 to $7,000 to purchase all of this weaponry? Where? No one's answering that question. That should be the question. How did the fascists of Facebook not turn this guy in? I mean, hell, the fascists of Facebook will suspend conservatives for daring to talk about Joe Bama and how irresponsible and reckless this dumb son of a bitch is. Yet the fascists of Facebook allowed this allow these posts to continue. They allowed these photos to continue to not even trigger law enforcement to investigate. The hypocrisy of the left, what we're seeing today, is incredible. Is incredible. That's why I question whether or not this is a planned attack or not. I can't believe it was an acute attack. There are so many holes in this entire scenario. And how shameless the left wing has acted during this whole ordeal. Shameless. The only thing that I'm sure troubles them is that the terrorist in Uvalde was a Hispanic. He wasn't a white male. That probably pained them because there's nothing about white supremacy, white nationalists, and KKK. There's nothing about that. Which goes to show they have canned narratives. The preamble to the Bill of Rights, the conventions of a number of states having at the time of their adoption of the Constitution expressed a desire in order to prevent misconstruction or abuse of its power, that further declaratory and restrictive clauses should be added. And as extending the ground of public confidence in the government, we must best ensure the beneficence ends in its institution. Now, did you catch the first paragraph of the preamble? The conventions of a number of states having at the time of their adopting the Constitution express a desire in order to prevent misconstruction or abuse of its powers, that further declaratory and restrictive clauses should be added. In order to prevent misconstruction or abuse of its powers, and we're talking about abuse of power today. The abuse of power by the federal government, the spineless coward of McConnell, seeking for ways to overturn the Second Amendment. Well, we should work together. Suddenly we should work together. How about working together to find answers as to what happened and why this happened in Uvalde, Texas? How about stopping to advertise that schools are a soft target, a gun-free zone? How about doing what the Israelis do? Have armed guards with their AK-47s, their AR-15s, their automatic weapons, their semi-automatic weapons displayed promptly in front of them as the Israelis do, as the Caballera does in Italy. The Democrat Party has devalued life in America. They've sought to take God out of their platform and out of this country. They demonize Christianity and Christians. Hell, Joe Obama didn't go to Wisconsin after the terrorist used an SUV to run down six people, including an eight-year-old boy, and wound 77 others, five people as part of a seniors organization that was helping to celebrate Christmas. Yeah, Joe Biden didn't lay any wreaths there. Well, why? Well, because the terrorist in that case was black. The terrorist used an SUV. He didn't use a weapon. Well, that didn't fit the narrative. What are you going to do? Are you going to demand that America stop making SUVs because of one person? Well, actually, it was several events because ISIS has inspired using vehicles as a means of terrorizing infidels, which also happened in New York City, which happened in Nice, France, at Bastille Day. The abuse of power, government, should be made front and center. This is exactly what we're seeing today in America, the abuse of power in Washington, D.C. by politicians who are perverting the political system to enrich themselves and to tear down the very system that has guided this country for 235 years. The founders foresaw that a man would misconstruction and at some point abuse its powers. And today the quest for the anti-constitutional movement led by the Democrat Party is to dismantle the Bill of Rights, the First Amendment, the Second Amendment, the Sixth Amendment, the Tenth Amendment. Oh, and by the way, I say the Democrat Party, but it's now both sides of the aisle. Now, at least some in Republican name are coming out and speaking out and defending the United States Constitution. But the establishment is on both sides of the aisle. The abuse of power is on both sides of the aisle, seeking to dismantle the Second Amendment and suppress the First Amendment. And today, we don't have confidence in our government. The recklessness in which the U.S. government is being run today is atrocious and immoral. Its methods are frightening and, frankly, un-American. The Uvalde shooting was without a doubt, a senseless tragedy. And why did an 18-year-old spend somewhere between $6,000 and $10,000 on weapons and ammunition? Where did he get the money? Where? Where? Al, I'm not buying what's being sold to us once again. And I just find it ironic, and it's no more a coincidence that what happened under Obama-Biden is now happening, it's resurrected, it's happening again under Biden, Harris, and Obama. I'm not buying it, Al.
Yeah, I don't know about that, but you can't legislate crazy. And if someone sends private messages to whom we don't know, but private messages on Facebook saying he's going to go kill his grandmother, and then after he kills his grandmother, he says, I killed my grandmother, now I'm going to go, and intended to open fire at an elementary school. The guy's crazy. You can't legislate against crazy people. He bought his guns legally, and it didn't trigger anything. You know, you can't weaken the Second Amendment. There's hundreds of thousands of 18 to 25-year-olds that purchase guns here in the United States with no consequences whatsoever.
Exactly.
And then you have this one mentally deranged individual. This is what the Marxists thrive on. The Marxists see this. They don't, like you said earlier, they don't give a crap, a rat's ass about the children who were shot down in a single classroom. God, I can't imagine what these kids went through and the adults that got shot. And how could somebody be so cold? But he was, and that is what he did. And luckily he's dead and won't cost the taxpayers any more money, because I don't give a shit why he did it. I just know that he did it, and I'm glad that he's dead. Will we be able to stop the next one? No, because how do you stop crazy unless they go out and say publicly, hey, I'm going to go kill some people now, and then somebody sees it, then, yeah, maybe then. But even then, you don't know. You can't legislate crazy.
And you can't have it both ways either. You can't go on a mission of defunding police and then demonizing law enforcement, and then expect law enforcement to provide the service at levels in which they're now being neutered. Now, I want to know why the U.S. Marshals were on site so quickly and not in that school. I want to know why it took an hour for this piece of crap, Ramos, to go on a shooting spree, an hour. Those are the questions that should be asked. But immediately, the left wing led by the demented Democrat Party is to do away with the Second Amendment. And legal gun owners in this country outweigh by far, the nuts that are using it for other purposes, let's just say. And the same Democrat Party, the same members of Congress on both sides of the aisle still haven't got a damn thing about what's happening in Chicago. 19
yeah.
people were killed in Uvalde. 19 people died in a weekend in Chicago. And because they have a black mayor, you know, Lori Lightweight, nothing is done. And so you have a shooting spree, a killing spree going on in Chicago, and not just for one weekend, not for two weekends. And now we're talking about years, 2 years going on. What the hell?
Well, like you said, no police. This is a societal problem, I think. No religion in schools. No moral compass in schools. The police are demonized, and there's no respect for the rule of law, period. Have they done away with saying the Pledge of Allegiance before class every day?
I don't know.
Does that I mean, does that cure anything? Will that stop a crazy person from shooting up someplace? No, it won't. Because we've always had these type of mass killings. Now, granted, it used to be primarily a white crime, but now it's expanded out. But to have them with this frequency is very unusual. Did they happen during Trump's years? Yeah, there were a few, but nothing like this.
That's correct.
I think it's a societal thing. I think for the reasons that I laid out, primarily lack of respect for police and the rule of law, and not knowing what makes our country great. And it's a package. A couple of them are more important than the other, but they all work together in a mindset.
Well,
that's my thought on the matter.
I just, you know, you sit there and you listen to the analogies, you listen to the left wing spew their venom and their hatred and the demonizing, you know, demonize the NRA, which I'm not a member of, by the way. They demonize the GOP. And they look, you know, in a quest to look to dismantle the Second Amendment of the U.S. Constitution. And I heard another pundit on DNC state media under MSNBC, and this guy, and I can't remember the guy's name, he was a foreigner, and he was putting his two cents in, and in the first three sentences, he pissed me off already. Because he starts out, and of course, he wasn't the one that stated about the Second Amendment doesn't give the right to own a gun, which is absolutely and totally false. And that is an outrageous, reckless statement that was made by whomever it was that was on Dean Obagala on MSNBC. But this guy starts out, and he has his own show, and he goes off on James Madison. He goes off Second Amendment. And the way he said it was, James Madison, a slave owner. And it's like, okay. And he went on, and it's like, okay. So here this guy knows that James Madison authored the Federalist 46 and was one of the founders who authored the greatest document ever, the United States Constitution. And justified the Bill of Rights, the first 10 amendments, along with John Adams and Thomas Jefferson. But the fact is that the left, they want to incorporate race. They want to continue their divide. And to start out your statement by stating James Madison, a slave owner. Now, this is the kind of rhetoric, anti-American rhetoric, that the identity politics of the left wing plays. I was taught that James Madison was one of the authors of the U.S. Constitution. I was taught that James Madison also wrote opinions along with Alexander Hamilton and John Hancock in the Federalist Papers. We were taught that James Madison was one of the great founders of this nation. And the rationale by the lunatic left wing is to say James Madison, a slaveholder. I find that offensive. I find that repulsive. But this is the left wing today. The left wing today seeks to malign. They seek to offend, to debase our founders. And today's Memorial Day, our founders risked their lives, their livelihood, their families in creating this great nation.
But some sniveling little preppy foreign idiot thinks it's fine to offend Americans, to offend America, and now it's fashionable to offend James Madison. And I find it repulsive. James Madison, a slave owner, and he starts going on and on. I mean, all right, I'm going to stop because we have a caller on the line. Brandon, I think you might know who's, I don't know who's going to be, but good evening, Holzer. Welcome.
Hey. Hello, Big Al and Vito.
Hey, how you doing?
On the Viking ship, Holzer. I promise I won't have a meltdown tonight. Be very calm. But I wanted to just call in because I thought of this earlier when you were talking about the guns and the Second Amendment and the Constitution and all that kind of good stuff. And, you know, if you read the Declaration of Independence, you can read the litany of grievances that the American people or the colonists at the time had, you know, with the British king. Okay, I mean, there was a lot of reasons for becoming independent, okay? But the fact of the matter is, there was something that caused the colonists to revolt, to actually begin the Revolutionary War, to begin the process of becoming their own country. You remember Paul Revere? Remember the story of Paul Revere?
Yes, he was a tinsmith.
Yeah. So Paul Revere was riding through the streets and the roads and warning people the British are coming. What were the British coming to do?
Take back the land where the colonists were objecting to.
No. The British were on their way to Concord, Massachusetts. They had a bunch of redcoats on the way to Concord, Massachusetts to do something very specific. And they were going to confiscate all of the firearms at the armory in Concord, Massachusetts. And so the first shots of the Revolutionary War, which actually made us a bloody country, happened because colonists said, you're not going to take our guns. You're not going to leave us defenseless. So there's, like I said, there's a myriad of reasons why America became America. But when it comes down to the nitty-gritty, when it came down to, okay, we're bitching and moaning to somebody standing up on a hill in Concord and another on a hill in Lexington and actually firing that flintlock and killing a British soldier, it was because of guns. It was because people have the right to protect themselves.
So, excellent.
I think we have to remember that.
Analogy, because we don't think of it in that micro term. You know, all we know is that that King George sent the redcoats over, but you forget absolutely why. Excellent point.
Yeah.
Taxation without representation. Yeah. That was the underlying ajna of the people. Yes, they knew that they and then what's even weirder from what and correct me if I'm wrong, but a very small percentage of the Americans, pre-Americans who were actual patriots. The majority were backing the British.
Yeah. Yeah, well, you know, the other thing too is that And you know that's the you mentioned the foreigner guy, you know, commenting. You know, I just love it when these foreigners have, you know, pipe up with commentary about,
you know, gun laws and gun violence and all this kind of crap in America. Okay, like we want them sticking their nose in our business anyway. But those people, they have no clue. They have no clue, you know, where the Second Amendment originated. You know, they I mean, let's face it. You got the First Amendment. You did a great job, Vito, of detailing the First Amendment, which is, you know, it's number one for a reason, you know, that we're able to speak freely, that we're able to worship freely, that we have a press that's supposed to be impartial and unaffected by government. All those, you know, be able to get together and bitch about the way the government, you know, it's the most important amendment. But the second one is number two for a reason. You know, the Second Amendment's not the eighth. It's not the tenth. It's not the 15th. It's the second one. It's pretty damn important. And so to all the whiners, to all the mothers against gun violence, to all the thousands and thousands of groups that want to take guns away from law-abiding citizens of this country, you know, who want to, you know, they want to leave you in charge of protecting your family at home with a wooden spoon. I just offer this up. We've got a constitution that is, you can add amendments, you can repeal amendments. You remember the amendment for prohibition of booze in America? It got repealed. They figured, well, we made a mistake, so they repealed it. So to all those groups, just repeal the Second Amendment. You can do it. There's a process in place. You just set forth the process in motion. You get three-quarters of the states to go along with the fact that the Second Amendment be repealed, and there you go. Don't bitch and moan about assault rifles. Don't bitch and moan about background checks. Don't try and gun control this, gun control that. Just do what you want to do. You want to take the guns away from the people, repeal the Second Amendment. Why is that? That's an easy solution. There you go.
And they know they can't do it, so what's the alternative? You water it down to...
Hold on now.
Sorry.
Every time I hear them talk, they throw out this, you know, 80% of the people in America want stricter gun laws.
Yeah,
90%
right.
of the people are against this gun violence. 95% of the people are appalled by all the mass shooting, so it shouldn't be a problem. If you got 80% of the people on your side, just repeal it. come take them. But you know, have you ever once in all of the history of this gun grab mania in this country, have you ever once heard any politician stand up and say that we're going to repeal the Second Amendment?
No, but you've come close where you've got the left wing being very, very brazen in their quest to dismantle, yes, to repeal the Second Amendment. There are these left wing lunatics who are out there who are seeking to and state it that they want to eliminate the Second Amendment. Hey, Hunter, no one needs to own an AR-15 to go hunting deer, right? That's the rationale.
Yeah.
And by God, you can't own a cannon. I mean, what would you do with a cannon up, you know, in the 10,000 Lakes area? I mean, you'd fire it, nobody would even know you had it.
Well, if you got 18 Somalis whose EBT cards just got cut off by the government and they're storming my house, I might want a cannon. I might need
true.
A cannon. You know? When I got two guys in my house looking to kill my family, Yeah, I need an AR-15.
Yep. Why does the government need an AR-15?
I think part of the deal is with these Marxists, they cannot swallow the fact that they could actually follow the Constitution. You know, they can't live by the rule of law. They've got no concept of it. I mean, in other words, they can't deal with a Supreme Court the way it's set up. So, you know, their solution is to stack the court. It's always this game of going around. It's, oh, we'll do an executive order. Oh, we'll do this. We'll do that. I mean, it's always underhanded. It's always behind closed doors. It's always sneaky Pete shit. I mean, that's just the way they are. None of them have the backbone to just say, hey, listen, 80% of the American people are with us. They don't want guns in this country. We're going to repeal the Second Amendment. They absolutely cannot do that because, first of all, they're actually using the Constitution, which they abhor.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so they can't be seen actually, you know, testifying to the fact that we have a Constitution. So, but I just think it's you know, the fact of the matter is in Britain, when they took the guns away from the people in Britain, it was after a school shooting. They had a terrible school shooting. I think there was somewhere upwards of three dozen kids killed.
Oh,
and,
yes.
And that's what spurred the gun confiscation of Britain. And that's why they keep trying it here. They keep wanting the next one to be the one that finally works. You know, how can you get the American people to finally agree that we have to get rid of guns? Well, you know, they've tried killing black people in the church. They've tried killing homosexuals in a nightclub in Orlando. They've tried, you know, and basically they settled on the fact that, well, we need to kill little kids. If you noticed, it started with high school students at Columbine.
Mm-hmm.
And now they've worked down all the way down to, well, we got to get younger kids. There's more emotion with little kids.
There you go.
So apparently the next thing we got to worry about is frickin' daycare. You know, because they went from 18-year-old kids to, you know, 8, 9, 10-year-old kids. You know, what's the next strategy to line up, you know, 2-year-olds, 3-year-olds. So,
well, I mean, would you put it by? I wouldn't put it by him. I mean, I don't put it by him to orchestrate this one. I really don't. I can't help, but you know, the outrage of a terrorist walking into an elementary school. Okay, it's bad enough, but then you look at the missteps along the way that led to this, and then you look at the outrage. But the outrage was immediately to blame the NRA and the GOP. And that was telling in itself as to how this was an emotional event. You've got Barack Hussein, Sator Obama quickly invoking George Floyd, making sure race is in there, making sure law enforcement is demonized. And then, you know, and Joe Obama goes out and he talks about the NRA. I just, you know, this is a shameless attempt. And you know, it's just getting worse. Why do you continue to bring? Because it's getting worse. They are looking to achieve total power, and in Washington D.C. And they are both sides of the aisle. Uh oh, they found you, Holger. Quick, leave.
I got to go. We got a tornado warning.
Oh, shit. All right. You be safe.
Okay. See you guys.
All right. Good luck.
All right.
All right.
Take it easy.
All right. Great call.
Be safe.
Audio Jungle.
Hey, thanks for calling, Aldrin. Yeah, he makes a good point. And you know something? Do you want to talk about a history lesson? That was a great history lesson. Why did King George send the Redcoats over, and why did they go to Massachusetts first? And it was to confiscate the guns. And again, James Madison and the founders foresaw this, and they looked for government to be subordinate to the people, to we the people. And today, the government seeks to make the people subordinate to the government. And it took 235 years to change this mindset. And you know, as these tragic shootings occur, and of course, they're also lumping in, okay, the left wing likes to, they want to demonize the AR-15 or an AR-15-like weapon, and they brought up the San Bernardino attack. Of course, that was an Islamic Jihad attack. They brought up the Orlando Pulse attack, and that was also an Islamic Jihad attack, where they killed 49 people in a gay bar. Huh? Where's the outrage there, huh? About an Islamic jihadist walks into a gay bar and kills 49 people. Huh? Where's the outrage? Huh? Oh, it's about the gun now, not about an Islamic terrorist attack. It's about a gun. What about an Islamic terrorist attack in San Bernardino? Farouk and his wife killed 14 of their fellow employees who actually conducted and held a baby shower for Farouk's wife. And the payback they got from an Islamic Jihad was to be killed by Farouk. But hey, that's because he had an AR-15. Excuse me, it was an Islamic Jihad attack. I mean, so we have two entities working together here. We have the Muslim Brotherhood and the Islamic Jihadists working alongside the left-wing lunatics known as the Democrat Party, looking to dismantle and dismember the United States Constitution. Use the First Amendment to destroy the First Amendment. Use the First Amendment to dismantle the Second Amendment. But now look at the root cause of all this. Well, you can't look at the root cause, because the idea is to make we the people subordinate to the United States government, which is diametrically opposed to what our founders intended by writing the Bill of Rights. It was to make the government subordinate to we the people. God. I don't know, Al. I've kind of rambled on that, but what's your opinion of this? I find two fascinating things. One, okay, Joe Obama goes down to Uvalde, and he's booed. And here's a guy who got 81 million votes, and he's booed. And secondly, you have the Democrat Party, who just last year was talking about it's imperative we should give 16-year-olds the right to vote. And today, the cries are, how can an 18-year-old walk into a store and legally buy a gun, buy a weapon? Oh, but you want them to vote? So you, on one hand, on one side of your mouth, you want a 16-year-old to vote, but on the other side of the mouth, you want to move the age up to 21 years old to buy a weapon. Well, then you know what? Let's move the voting to age 21, huh? And then not only that, let's move the entrance into the United States military to 21 years old. Well, that'll never happen.
No, I don't know what the solution is. The solution is, you can't legislate crazy.
Correct. Correct.
And what offends me greatly is that before the bodies of these children were even taken to the morgue, the Democrats are already out there with their anti-gun rhetoric. At a memorial service, you had Beto O'Rourke, and we touched on it last week. Beto O'Rourke crashes literally crashes the press conference and starts making political comments, and the sheriff had to tell him they called him a sick son of a bitch, which is pretty strong language for an official in the middle of a memorial service. That is the Marxist mind. They will do anything and everything, the ends justify the means, in order to get this gun taken away and hold your broad at home. This has happened before in the history of our great republic. During our revolution against the British, the first thing they came for was the guns. The people don't have guns. They're not a threat.
That's right.
How hard is it to understand? How hard?
Well, apparently it's really hard. It's okay that the federal government possesses AR-15s and machine guns. Why? To defend our homeland. Oh, okay. But it wasn't it in 1934 that MacArthur sent tanks and armored vehicles into Washington D.C. to throw out the World War One vets who were made promises by the federal government and it wasn't followed through, and so they were camping out in Washington D.C. So it's okay then for the federal government to possess these assault weapons and these military grade weapons. But again, in order to make the American people subordinate to the government, you disarm them. And you use every means in order to do so. Like right now, it's pulling at the heartstrings and tugging at those heartstrings and making it emotional and prey on the emotions. You know, the classless communist Beto O'Rourke going to that press conference, you know, that's a classless act by a Marxist. All he's doing is politicizing, and that's exactly what the left wing led by the Democrat Party does. They act purely on emotion, and they're tearing at the very fabric that made this country great. The first 10 amendments of the Bill of Rights, and we're watching them being infringed upon on a daily basis. I still can't believe that nobody in Congress, and I know Marjorie Greene may have alluded to it, Lauren Boebert may have stated, but basically nobody in Congress has been throwing this out, the fact that the Sixth Amendment has been violated. Every person who's been incarcerated for the last 15 months who was arrested for the January 6th event, their Sixth Amendment right has been violated. And then those that are being – that have faced trial – and pleading guilty, they're pleading guilty to what? Misdemeanors. Misdemeanor trespassing. That's some insurrection, isn't it, Al? That is some insurrection that these people's constitutional rights have been violated over what? Trespassing. This is how reckless, I don't know, this is how out of control this government is. Where are the 535 members of Congress yelling and screaming about the violation of an American Sixth Amendment right to a speedy trial? Where? Well, Vito, it was an insurrection. Excuse me. Then why are people who have been found guilty and have been lucky enough to have a trial, why are they pleading guilty to misdemeanor charges? Insurrection is not a misdemeanor. And nobody was armed. The only one that were armed were the House police. Nobody was armed in this insurrection, the supposed insurrection. Peaceably walk to the Capitol. Peaceably is what President Trump said. In the meantime, you've got the anti-American agitator, Obama, inciting his base, inciting the Democrat Communist Party base to protest in front of Supreme Court justices' houses, to call them out, inciting people to break the law, and the great black dope, okay, gets away with his insightful rhetoric.
Oh, yeah, fight like hell, I believe is what he said, right? That's right. Thanks, boy. And Obama gets away with it. And then we have to listen to Joe Obama, you know, fumble through and make idiot remarks. And again, I just can't help but think Proverbs, you know, chapter 6, verses 12 through 15, the wicked man, it absolutely describes him to a T, pointing his finger, shuffling, you know, saying perverted things, perversion in his heart. It's the perfect fit for the unfit Joe Obama. The Constitution means nothing today to 535 people in the United States Congress, to the President, Vice President of the United States of America, to the Attorney General of the United States of America. It is unbelievable what we are seeing today happening in the United States of America. Instead of trying to look at the root cause of what happened and why this terrorist attack took place in Uvalde, Texas, the first response from this communist government is to quickly seek to remove the Second Amendment. It's to demonize the NRA. Legal gun owners, 83 million legal gun owners, who all they do is they're exercising their Second Amendment right to bear arms, which in fact calls and allows for an American citizen to own a gun, irrespective of what the DNC state-run media, MSNBC, wants to sell, tries to sell. It's sickening what we're seeing today. It's absolutely sickening. And it's all by design. It now takes the $4.60 a gallon, $5 plus gallon of gas off the front table. It takes the $5.90 a gallon for diesel fuel off the table. 11% inflation rate off the table. Escalating interest rates for first time and for homeowners, home buyers. Takes that off the table. How convenient. How convenient. It was backfiring. It was all backfiring on this corrupt regime in Washington, D.C. And now you have to bring it back because the midterms are coming, and it looks like the Democrat Party is going to get shellacked. We got to do something. Oh, Roe v. Wade's being overturned. No, it's not. It was a draft. Oh, we got two mass killings. Damn it, they couldn't find a white guy to pull the trigger at Uvalde. It's sickening what we're seeing today.
It's the advancement of Marxism. That's the only the only constant.
That's true, you know. And by the way, the DNC state media outlet MSNBC, the host was Mehdi Hassan, who stated, you know, he started out his diatribe and he said James Madison, a slave owner, who attempted to write the federal okay, yeah, that's how you start off. That was Mehdi Hassan, by the way. I couldn't think of that.
A Muslim.
A Shia Muslim.
So what's really strange when you think about it is the simpatico relationship between the followers of Islam and the Democrat Marxist Party. You think they'd be at odds with each other because the Marxists are so pro-LGB, gay marriage, gay this, take away your guns, lack of family, and yet followers of Islam are the exact opposite of that. They believe in strong family, many wives in some cases, but they believe in strong family, and they're anti-gay because in Iran, they throw gays off of roofs Mm-hmm. And they hang them by cranes. And yet
Correct.
The gay mafia is silent about that. And yet these two groups have formed together to go against the conservatives.
Well, why is that? Well, because the end game for the Muslim Brotherhood and the Islamic movement is the same as the Democrat Party, and that is to dismantle the United States Constitution. Both use and hide behind, you know, the First Amendment. You've got the Islamic movement hiding behind the First Amendment, freedom of speech and freedom of religion. And in the same token, they can hold their nose. And the left wing, led by the Democrat Party, says nothing with regards to the anti-homosexual sentiment and movement inside of the Islamic movement. Suddenly, that becomes secondary. And then the Islamic movement, you know, Islam is against abortions, okay? But that's secondary because the end game by both the Islamic movement and the Democrat Party is what? It's to dismantle the United States Constitution. And as long as the establishment, the Democrat establishment, is infused with money, they will look the other way. You know, they can conveniently blame the Pulse shooting and San Bernardino terrorist attacks on guns, when in fact it was an Islamic terror attack. But that doesn't fit the narrative. So let's use the Second Amendment. Let's abuse the Second Amendment in that fashion and tie it to that. But the end game, of course, by the Islamic movement, and we said it ad nauseum, I mean, you've got the explanatory memorandum, which is the playbook for the Muslim Brotherhood. The Iqwa must understand that work in America is a kind of grand jihad in eliminating, destroying the Western civilization from within. Now, if there was any patriotism left inside the Democrat Party, they would divorce themselves and they would push away the Islamic movement, and they would expose it for the fraud that it is in America. But hey,
nope. They do the opposite.
That's exactly right.
They embrace it and make them their allies.
So was it for the Benjamins, baby?
I think it was to bring about to weaken the United States of America. They're
mm-hmm.
doing this for two completely different reasons, but their ultimate goal, obviously, is to weaken the U.S. culturally.
Exactly.
And then after they're done, then they'll fight it out because they're not compatible ideologically. The only thing they have, the only place they intersect, is their hatred of America, wanting to bring us down a notch. But so few people talk about it.
No, few people talk about it, and what they talk about, they try to cover it up, and they try to sugarcoat this whole thing. And it's like, you know, enough already. It's time to call these people out. And, you know, it started, look, at Virginia was a great example where the parents weren't buying this genderless bathroom and having boys go into girls' bathroom. And two attacks took place, and the parents had enough. The critical race theory, they had enough of that. And the elitist at least on the Democrat Party side, they showed their true colors and told parents to sit down and shut up, and we'll teach your kids. Don't tell us what to do. And you see, that's the frightening thing right now with the left wing in America, and any lefties in the Republican Party, they are scared because the American people did it once, and they're going to do it again because they've had enough. You know, they rejected Hillary Rodham Clinton, the pantsuit princess, in 2016, and they went with a virtual unknown. And it turns out that man, Donald Trump, was pro-American. He believed in the United States of America and the American people. And he started empowering the people, making the government subordinate to we the people.
And the powers to be in Washington, D.C. did not like that. And they tried to derail that man on a daily basis. And now we're back to it. And we're watching things being placed on fast track. I mean, that's the only thing you can think about is look how rapidly things have unfolded since January 20th, 2021. When gas was at what a gallon, $1.89 a gallon in many states, including Florida, and now it's $4.60 a gallon, and we're not supposed to be outraged by this, and there's no end in sight because the chimpanzee in the White House is doing nothing and will do nothing, and that's all by design. But now we're being distracted with the Uvalde shooting, and I'm not diminishing the deaths of those 19, 21 people, okay? Including 19 children. The fact is that the left wing is using this crisis as a means of disarming the American people. And we should not stand for it. We do not stand for it. Today is Memorial Day. And brave Americans, they gave their lives for this country, for us to be free, to experience the freedoms and the liberties that we are enjoying today. And we have a government who's working against us, against we the people. And they are soiling the millions of men and women who gave their lives for this country. That's all I got tonight.
That's enough. It's a trying time for everybody. How do you rationalize this, even though we go through the same discomfort, these same discussions after every shooting? And it's just so frequent, and yet we have the same discussions. Why is it happening? Stop guns. Guns have to be the problem. But it's not. So maybe the American people are getting desensitized to this. As Holger said, with each one of these, it hurts less and less. We just get tired of it. And it becomes normalized, which is a word we haven't heard yet, but I'm sure we will. Will it become normalized? And God help us if it does. Everyone should be very upset. I'm upset. Every time I see this, it drives me crazy. And this is a minority community.
Yeah. But because the shooter was brown-skinned as well, the disingenuous left wing finds a different narrative to exploit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and there's tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands, of public schools throughout the country. It's impossible to harden all of them. It's impossible to have armed guards at each and every one of these schools. Now, if you want to turn the schools into a police state, well, that's something that I reject. I'd rather see all teachers armed. And the ones who don't want to be armed don't have to be armed. But if every teacher is armed and trained, and there was talk about that during, probably, 5 years ago, during one of the other shootings, and there was a big push for it, and then it disappeared off the radar screen.
America,
you're probably not going to hear it now because everything is less guns.
Mm-hmm.
You can do the same problem with a knife.
Yeah, and of course we haven't heard anything from Communist Kamala, but she is looking to ban assault weapons, a full ban on assault weapons. I mean, this is how these people took an oath of office to protect and defend the United States Constitution, and they're redefining weapons in America. And as long as they can find a way to disarm the American people, these anti-constitutionalists in the White House will push their radical agenda. And every Republican who goes along with this, they are traitors to this nation, and they too have committed treason.
Amen.
So tomorrow night, please check out The Cross of the Crescent with Eric from Kafiristan at 6 p.m. Eastern Time. Wednesday, Hank Jones and Poly Sports is back, 5:30 p.m. Paul Sutliff on Thursday with the Sutliffian Report. Paul's also the author of The Cancer of Civilization Jihad. Friday, Andrew Harrod, Conservative Casual Friday. Please on at 12 p.m. Eastern Time. Saturday, Minister Simon Dakduk and the Beautiful Christie revealing the truth about Islam, 10 p.m. Eastern Time, right here on Global Patriot Radio. And on Sunday, Eric from Kafiristan is back with his Interfaith Dialogue. Please check out that show. It's a great show. He does a great job with Christianity and Islam and Judaism. Monday, Al and I will be back at 6 p.m. Eastern Time. Please keep G-Ski in your prayers. And, you know, he was here last week, and he was doing well, and that's really, really good to hear. Annie, Southern Sense Talk Radio, with her sidekick, Curtis Bennett, author Curtis Bennett, 1 to 4 p.m. on Fridays on Blog Talk Radio. Chief, Simple Facts of Life, Tuesdays, 3 p.m. Pacific Time on Blog Talk Radio. If you want a break from politics, religion, and really this, you know, the social events, check out the Simone Nicole Show, Wednesdays, 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Spreaker.com, Spreaker.com, and that is Blog Talk Radio's sister station. And check out Simone Nicole at 8 p.m. He does a great, Joshua does a great job. It's a great self-help show. And then on Thursdays, you've got Audrey Russo of Real Talk Radio, 8 p.m. Eastern Time. Go to AudreyRusso.com, A-U-D-R-E-Y, Russo, R-U-S-S-O.com. She has a great show. She has great guests. Also, check out Bigfoot's Place. It's www.bigfootsplace.blogspot.com. Great blog spot. Had some great stories this past weekend on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. Well, every day he's got some great he's got some great stories there, but he puts a lot of work into it. And thank you, Big, for the work you're doing. And thank you, bringing on Boyd, Becky Northwest, the Alaskan Boyd. Hank Jones is in the house earlier, and a couple of guests. And thank you, Holger, for the call, and be safe up there. You all be safe out there. Thank you all. Al, any party shots?
Adios, amigos. We'll see you next Monday.
All right. It did. Oh, my God. I looked up, and it was like 50 minutes left, and then all of a sudden it was 24 minutes, and then, wow. And I think I forgot to play it. I put a clip up there, and I think I forgot to play it. I mean, I did forget to play it.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on with our country, but we saw it. We saw it before. We saw it with Obama, and now it's back.
That's I'm going to say it because, you know, not many people are saying it. I did see an article or a letter in Gab News, the mass shooting at Liberal Utopian Society was written by a pastor, Andrew Isker, and he's the only mm-hmm. person that I've seen actually tell it like it is with regards to how Biden is demanding that guns be confiscated in America. And, you know, and I know that, you know, bonehead Biden hasn't actually said he could confiscate all weapons, but this is what they're working for. And I don't know, I honestly don't get it, but there's too many coincidences here. You know, the same occurrences are happening that happened under Obama Biden. And now they're happening under, Biden, Harris, and Obama. And it's the same methods, too. It's the same MO. And then it's the same fake outrage. It's the same cries. It's the same calls. And we're seeing it in just 18 months. And that's why I don't believe in coincidences anymore. It's no coincidence that we're paying $4.60 a gallon for gas. And there's no remorse about it either. Well, you know, there's one way to stop paying high prices for gas is buy an electric car. Fuck you. You know, and then you got Secretary of Energy Granholm saying, well, you know, Germany and the Japanese are suffering the same energy crisis that we are. It's a global thing. No, it's not a global thing. It didn't have to be a global thing unless it was intentional. But again, we're on the same path as we were with Obama Biden. They figured it out. You know, took a little bit of a respite with Trump, which really, really, you know, I think hurt their plans. But now they're just ramping it up. There was a story today in what's his name? Glenn Beck's The Blaze. Guess what? People aren't saving anymore. People's saving rate is the lowest since 2008. In 15 short months. Why are people's savings being diminished? Because it's costing more to live. You're paying $40 more to fill up your tank. Where the fuck do you think the money's going to come from? You're paying $30 more every time you go to the grocery store. Where do you think it's going to happen? People can't save anymore. You think people are going to go out to restaurants now and go and spend money like they used to? Not when they start seeing that, oh, you know what? I can't save as much money as I used to. Oh, my God, what happens if we have what happens if the air conditioner goes out in our house? I can't save that $200, $300 a month like I used to, $400 a month.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, something's got to give.
Mm-hmm.
Don't know what.
It's amazing that suddenly all whistleblowers have also stopped too. There's no more whistleblowers. Wow. Isn't that amazing? Suddenly that's just been, that just dried up.
Well, the only whistleblowers seem to be, yeah, that's a good point. I hadn't thought about that, but through Project Veritas, the whistleblowers are coming through with his investigative journalism. And he provides some great content and material as far as with the Twitters and the social media websites. And he's exposed them, done phenomenal work.
He has, but look how this guy's maligned. Look at the attacks that he's enduring. I mean, they are actually looking to bankrupt this guy. And all he's doing is he's exposing the fraud that's going on in government, how we're being duped. And suddenly that's, let's abridge his First Amendment right. Well, he's not a journalist. Oh, excuse me, he is. He's more of a journalist than anybody on the state-run DNC media outlets.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God! It's incredible. They're changing the vernacular of things, the weapons of war, really. So it's okay then for governments to have these assault weapons as they define them, but American citizens should not have any type of weapon at all. And so a guy walks into a store and stabs five people to death, that's okay because he didn't use a gun. We're going to ban knives like they do in London? You have to use a butter knife, a plastic knife at that? Oh, this is absolutely stinks to high heaven. It really does.
We'll see how it plays out.
Yeah. Yep. All right.
Well, if you hear any news about the leaker for the SCOTUS draft brief, let me know.
Definitely. Definitely. Because what is it now, 3 weeks?
Yeah, it has been 3 weeks. It was in the news cycle for 48 hours, 72 barely, and now nothing.
Right. Nothing. Nothing.
I sent my I sent my congressman a note, and never heard back.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh? You haven't heard anything?
Nope. No reply. It was on Twitter, so maybe he didn't see it, but.
So, I guess. So I guess maybe then the that reps are looking for the leaker then. Maybe that they're just too busy. That's why they can't. Right?
That's probably it. Yeah. I think you're onto something.
All right. Well, if I hear anything, I'll definitely let you know.
All right. Well, hit him straight right. This week.
Yeah.
I'll catch you later.
I dropped a 69 yesterday. I bogeyed the last hole. Damn it.
Awesome.
Yeah.
That is great golf.
Yeah, but God, I piped a drive on 18. On the 18th hole, and it had like 92 yards in, and I choked down on the sandwich. It took a nice smooth stroke, and I hit it over the green. It's like, whoa, where the hell did that come from?
That's a pretty good sandwich.
Yeah, I know. That's what I said. Up the uphill green too. It's like, damn.
Yeah, I need a 3/4 swing gap or a full gap depending on the wind. You must have hit it on the screws.
I did. I went to the range this week and was working on the sand wedge and just kind of get a feel for the new wedge, and I'm really liking it. I really like it. Just kind of slowing down the swing. So just just working on a better tempo and not getting fast.
That is the hardest thing to do.
It's amazing. I mean, it really is. It's fun. It's making it fun again, and it's been it's hard to do. It's the discipline part of it is really, really tough.
Yeah. Well, it's like MAGA, Make America Golf Again. You're having MAGA moments at the golf course. That's awesome. Nobody talks about that, but I think I think you coined something. Make America golf. Again.
The golf industry will love that.
That's right. Peace and coexistence through golf. Make America golf again.
All right. Have a nice evening.
All right. You too. Great show.
All right.
Adios.
Good night, Sue. I see you up on the switchboard. Have a nice evening.
Night, Sue.
Ciao.
That's all, folks.
Thank you for using Blog Talk Radio.